we were watching a lot of your YouTube videos last night, and we were just absolutely, absolutely blown away by the depth of your spiritual wisdom.
For sure.
Just amazing.
You're brilliant. You've got a really deep understanding of metaphysical knowledge, esoteric information, and
in fact,
it's amazing. It's very brilliant. I really really pack a lot of content into your videos, so I'm really really excited to get into this. I know you've got a lot to say,
thank you for that, because you know, a lot of times, you know, you pack so much in there, people are like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to believe you or dismiss you, but yeah, I mean, it's just really, really, I'm super excited to just be delivering the message. And it's obviously been I think we're going on our 7th year now, and I'm just looking to get more and more innovative and dynamic. And I believe for sure that if we're working with the children and we're driving down the age numbers more and more about who's taking in this kind of content in relation to themselves, then we basically start putting brakes on some of the issues that we have to end up fixing later on when the being is quote unquote adult. And so I just kind of see it would be like a forever treadmill if we didn't start with the children. But first, of course, we get with parents in order for them to begin to bring those kind of things into the home.
Absolutely. Now, we should say that we should introduce you as the author of the acclaimed book, The Code to the Matrix, and also the developer and operator of the popular websites, The Resistance and The Astral Quest. And I understand that you've also written several articles, you are published quite widely, you have a lot of YouTube videos, and I understand that you started off life in a very interesting fashion, and I would love my daughter to have the same upbringing as you did, because I believe that your wonderful spiritual mother banned you from having mobile phones or access to TV, and I believe you were immersed from spirituality from a very early age.
Yes, I was indeed. And I spoke with my mother today, and I was just giving her thanks again, because I said, you know, some of the principles that have stuck with me the most have been the ones that I've learned from you. So, you know, definitely never feel as if you didn't come here and accomplish something in magnificent, because I'll just take it from there. But of course, while the experience is going on, you know, it's not always that way. As you know, in the youthful mind, it's like it's too strict, and you know, it's even utterly insane. And it's kind of like it always happens like that. Even now we see the younger children doing things and we're like, man, I would have never did that when I was younger. But then we can remember we were also saying that about with our parents. So it's a cycle. And obviously we look for, you know, the best ways to communicate with the youth nowadays, because obviously, you know, getting into discipline versus punishment and in reward-based systems is a big key, or else, you know, there's obviously a lot of rebellion that is happening right now, just because, you know, the system doesn't offer much sanction and actually welcomes that kind of behavior. And so, yeah, I mean, we just want to keep it to a point where obviously this is about the person, this is the central, they're the central character in the theme. So this gives them the opportunity to not only drive themselves more and also have a viable way of really achieving what they want to and wish to achieve. And so that's what I'm big on, is, you know, finding very, very, some would say untraditional, some would say otherworldly, whatever, ways to be magnificent. And I think that's what just powers this movement the most, and why those with young hearts, which make, you know, person could be 90, person could be, you know, 15, just a young-hearted person who's not settling for their light dying out and not leaving their star bright in the sky and creating their legend. And, you know, this is what they're into. So this is for the connoisseur of humanity and beyond.
Well said.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking, we exchanged a few emails and we were trying to narrow the the topic of the our show down a bit,
which is it's probably almost impossible,
right?
Because it's such a breadth of topics.
We're talking about the Matrix and the ascension and the paradigm shift, which is an incredibly broad topic.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to ask you a question that I've always wanted to ask someone who has got access to amazing spiritual knowledge. Are you ready for this?
For sure.
7, what is the meaning of life?
Oh, as if that's not a small question.
Right.
No, but
well, at least it's not what happens when you die. I had someone hit me with that the first question on an interview, and that made for a very awkward moment. And, you know, then I rebound because I've answered that question before. But, you know, obviously beauty is in the hot eye of the beholder. You know, if I close my eyes, your eyes may still be open. If I fall asleep, you may still be awake. And so when we ask about meanings to things, those meanings are very personal and unique to each person. And so, you know, there is that side of it. So to me, there's always two answers to every question in a matrix. That's why you even see people now say, yeah, no. And they just kind of put those together. And it's like, wait a minute, you just said two opposite words. But in the strictest tense, the meaning of life to me from an ancestral level, like, hey, what did the ancestors say about what is the meaning to why we're here? It's to learn the language, meaning the universal language that's embedded within nature, and to begin to become familiar with how we can create our own realities, and because that's what we'll be doing when we leave here. And we're already doing that within the dream world, you know. And so now we're using the mechanics that we witness here, chairs and those kind of things, because we're more into those objects, cars, houses, those kind of things. So we fill the dream world with that. But obviously in the ancient times, the ancestors looked to nature to discover the geometry from phi and pi, you know, which is the root to all organic things and inorganic things, actually, too, from the scientific inorganic. So when you're looking at things like cats, beetles, birds, you know, with amazing colors, those kind of things were created with what we came here to learn. So to me, that's the meaning of life, is it's the staging ground, the place that you learn the language of the program of this particular vessel that we're in, this alchemical vessel. And we could take that language from there and have the opportunity to begin to create what we prefer. And of course, each person being unique prefers their own thing. So we work more and more not to judge and to not just go into the mindset of just because someone doesn't like what we want, we like, that, you know, somehow they're horribly evil or, you know, not worthy of being human, etc. So, you know, this is the quest that we're on, and we find ourselves in this activity that we're calling life, which is quite amazing. I mean, it's just such an immense thing. It leaves me at every single point. Just because I don't know where nothing comes from and I'll never know that, it leaves me just awestruck to that I'm even here. So to me, that's what drives me. That's my fuel.
The adventure of life. Would you say it's so you're saying it's about spiritual evolution and personal growth and development?
Well, when you're on this side of things, because, you know, there's another side, and that's just a subjective plane, a plane of pure everything where there's no rules, there's no laws. There's no tones, there's no divisions, there's none of that. And it's, you know, you actually can't survive in that space with your consciousness as you know it. So the only other space there is this one. And the range of what's capable of being done here, like what is a person supposed to be doing, you know, because there's multiple organisms that live within each human's body, would be in retrospect more to the vibrational frequency that they're on. And so because there's an entire wavelength, that's the rainbow or the covenant, that each being is holding up a specific part of this rainbow bridge, as they would like to call it, then that means that, you know, there's an extreme connection with just the oscillations that go on between those colors. And what this translates to us is, you know, all the variations that we get in the physical reality, our ability to mix and match multiple variations to create different results. You know, I mean, I get the grandest version of that, of course, is having children and mixing with another being and then seeing how that child becomes a blend of those beings, creating projects and doing different things where you mix different levels of intelligence and experience that you've had, and then it comes out as whatever you create and others get a chance to experience it. It changes them. Even in the moment that they actually recognize it and it's revealed to them, the vibrational frequency that they're on, along with the things that are around them, are all harmonizing and in tune and creating something from what is being witnessed. And this is continuously spawning into more and more variations. And so, again, like, so every single component that's actually in, you know, whether we can see what the purpose of that component truly is, has a very unique position in a very grand meaning in all of this. And so consciously, I will conclude, excuse me, consciously, there's this, okay, this is my quest, this is what I'm supposed to do. Subconsciously, there's already something going on that the person is enveloped in very deeply, and they're just becoming aware more and more of that in what we would call activation or ascension.
So this is so we're here for the experience of life and to learn, and it's I think it's something that I might call the law of expanding consciousness, where we're it's about the law of growth, I think. Or that's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Well, you know, they say the behold, I saw the ladder coming up and down. And so it's kind of interesting because, you know, in a dualistic realm, we constantly have to gauge, you know, the left from the right, or basically where the parameters actually are. And that's the whole idea of what a dimension is. Like, we call this a dimension, but a dimension is also measurements. And so, you know, and if you look at the Kabbalah, they talk about, you know, can you measure the heights all the way from the chasm to the top of the vault? And they start getting into this rhetoric about measuring things. And it's obviously that's a big part of physical worlds, is the shapes, the forms, the fashions, and the measurements of different things that are here. And so that pursuit actually goes up and down. Like, you can evolve, if you may, if we use that term, and you can de-evolve. And ultimately, that will have an impact on the entire specimen. So let's say, I guess the easiest way to see this, if I was to simplify this for people, is to understand that what we're calling the world, the animals, the insects, and all these different things that we're seeing around us, the trees, is actually one gigantic seed of one being. So what this literally means is, although we see ourselves as humans and these as animals and these are trees, just like they tell us, oh, you know, you're all the same thing, it's easier to see it as just like when you look at a seed, you can cut a seed open and you'll see all different parts of the seed. And, you know, and it's just like even the body, you cut the body open, there's different parts of the body. But the body is all part of one large organism that is called the body. So it's the same thing as what we're in right now, is that every single component that's here is actually in the seed of one, in becoming the birth of one more larger collected being. And so when we start seeing things like that, it actually puts things into better perspective, you know, if we're looking to get something really accomplished, because then we can start to have real answers, viable answers that are not just based on judgments off of experiences to what exactly we're dealing with and how can we benefit from it, because that's also another state of consciousness within itself. The being is becoming more awake and taking the will and saying, okay, well, I'm not necessarily going to go in the direction that every single thing that is like me is going. I'm going to go see if there's different directions. So this stage of awareness opens you up into another field to where that's a possibility. And then, in fact, what that field eventually leads to is saying to you that actually it's endless. You can do really anything. And now it's just about getting back to the point to where when we, let's say, load that on ourselves, program ourselves with that, this vessel, that what you're going to be, that you don't waver in that so that it doesn't give it enough power and enough energy in order for the projection to become solid.
Look, I love the metaphor of the world being one gigantic seed, because it shows that we are all growing. You know, we are all becoming something different. And in fact, what I gathered from what you were just saying is that not only can we discover more about the world and who we are, we can actually recreate ourselves. We're consciously recreating ourselves, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because it shows, let's say in schizophrenia, that a person can change their entire biological environment inside of their body based on what they believe they are. And, you know, this is very interesting, because it actually shows that the power is in our belief and always has been. And, you know, now what we're doing is we're just putting the pieces back together so a person has faith in this, and all they're having faith in is themselves. So obviously we've lost a bit of faith in ourselves. We've been dealing with a society that looks to demoralize and degenerate. You know, I always say, hey, if, you know, if there's not some slaves going on here, then why are we working? You know, it's just like the obvious of what's going on. And then for me, it's like a big stage of recovery, because once you start accepting certain things, it puts you on the road to recover. If you don't admit that you may be programmed, you don't admit you may have an addiction or these kind of things, it doesn't actually get itself to a point of being able to work out. So I put myself on the table and I go in completely and I say, you know, let's rebuild them. and see exactly what we can really get out of this with what we know now. And I find that there's so many resources. The vaults are just really opening with things like, you know, dieting and what you can put into your body, things that have energetic potential, you know, and breathing techniques, holotropic breathing, you know, all the different gifts, Wim Hof breathing, all the gifts that have been given by the citizens of this giant ship that we're on. And so when we awake to that, like just not devoting our energy towards examining the obvious, you know, and then looking deeper within ourselves for those mysteries, we're finding all loads of assistance all around us that start opening this up for us and this flower up for us. And I would say this, that I've never met any person in this prolonged period of teaching people spiritual knowledge and interacting with others that truly when they sought to gain the next level, if you may, that it wasn't made available, that there was literally some invisible stuff happening. They moved and all of a sudden they were in the position to be able to do that. And so what we want to do now is we want to bring more examples and try and bring examples in ways that other people can recognize those examples, even if they didn't even know that's what they were coming in to do. But basically bringing in examples to show people that, hey, this is actually happening. This is not a hoax. This is not, you know, another tangent or rift in the New Age or whatever you want to call it. This is something that's viable and real. And the most important thing is that it has the real answers to what's going on with you, because I got to lay in the bed and I know that there's a time that I'm not going to wake up here. And so for me, as you know, my profile, since I was young, I had that question about, you know, so what's going to happen after that? And so in that retrospect, you know, because I keep that, or used to keep it, I would say, at the forefront of my mind until I had solved that riddle, I would always work consistently to find that knowledge and find that information out. And so that's really what's brought me here to this point, is that I've just had 38 years to try to answer one question. Sometimes it takes us that long. But if that pursuit in my pursuit in life was to at least give myself a question when I was born, a riddle, that once I solved that riddle, that it was going to give me the recollection of what happened before. Because the other thing that I would have to bring up is that, of course, in hypnosis, that a person can be brought back into different spaces. And they can even recount things that they normally would not recount if they were just what we call conscious, right? So that means the data is there, but they can't access it. So just from that alone, it would say that there is some kind of rift between our present and what is really our past or our memories. And that rift, just like anything else, if you can't remember what happened when you were 2, how can you remember what happened when you were negative 600 or whatever it would be in the number game, right? So but for some reason, if you get into that right state, if for some reason you kind of let go to whatever attaches you into this reality, that's why the person's kind of under some state of hypnosis. They don't really recall right. What they've done, but so they've let go of something. We can at least, you know, admit to that or say yes to that. And then this has given them access to everything. So I remember there was one lyric in the song that said, "You lose yourself and you find it on." I just could never get that. I just felt like, man, that just sounds like something that I just don't want to do. But it does sound like something I want to do. And it said, yeah, see, because you're conflicted. And the truth is that you can do both. See, this is what happened with, you know, when we have things that we have to decide on doing as powerful beings, we just do both. It's never been like, okay, oh my goodness, Mel down here, I want to go this way, but man, so I want to go that way. Okay, you go both ways then. And that's actually division. That's what brings us into incarnated worlds, where we literally split from what's always in the all-knowing, what always will be, what right. knows everything, to here, to where, like David was saying, it's more like a load-up. You know, the ancient cultures, you know, they have more in mind about, you know, they were into creating things like peacocks and stuff like that, which I can imagine if PlayStation is big now, that must have been extremely big. And so they populated the entire world with all these different specimens that we haven't even seen an inkling of, in most cases, even the ones that are on the physical form. And then, you know, of course, we spend a lot of time in doing what, you know, we know now is the cause and effect of things that I guess we didn't even really understand when we make certain decisions in the past, what that was going to equal in the first place, like surplus, like storing wheat versus hunting and gathering every day. So many people right. think that like the past is like riddled with just this huge oligarchic empire that just all of a sudden overthrew the world, like orcs the movie, the Hobbit movie, but it's not really like that. What happens is we take chances, and we implement things in society that they go one way and they go another. They'll always go both ways on a dual plane. And we get a chance to see the benefits of it. And of course, we get a chance to see the drawbacks of it. And then what we look to do is we look to always push the bar more towards the benefits. But what nature is looking to do is always keep it balanced. And this, this is what upsets the teeter-totter. And even that action, though, because, you know, it's a nest inside of nest, becomes the energetic potential for yet much a grander being, the back and forth between what we would say is nature's agenda versus the conscious mind and collectivism. You see? So, you know, this is once we start, you know, go ahead.
there's always a conflict. And I think like what you're saying is we're multi-dimensional personalities working on multi-levels at the same time. It's like a skyscraper with many floors to it, and we're working on all these floors at the same time on a particular project, and I'm a past life regressionist, so my past lives have come forward time and time again, and I'm aware of them, my past life personalities, and they're bringing forward stuff from those lives. And for most people, because of that hypnotic amnesia effect where we forget where we came from before we were born and where we go after we pass on, we're working on those issues in this life unknowingly. At least that's my understanding. So,
that's spot on.
It sounds, Seven, that you are on an inspiring mission to reconnect humanity to the knowing and to the full, world, both in time and space. It's a big task.
Yes, I mean, I would say, you know, at a certain point, I guess when we realize that smaller is more powerful, you know, and just if you can contain your vessel, you can get to quite a bit of different revelations and eventually power through. Because I guess you would say that my research is powering up the vessel enough to juice or to manage with awareness the multiple vehicles and projections that we've attached ourselves to. And this is really ancient knowledge. So this is not something that I'm reintroducing. I would only be reintroducing it back into the realm. But it's the simple notion that actually what you'll see in the dream, if it's not just basic lower level subprogramming, which is something I guess we have to talk about later, but what you'll generally see in the dream is you'll see the projections that you have running. And what these are, they're basically like programs running. Sometimes when those programs end, you just actually die in that dream. That's the point in the moment of that whatever happens, and somehow you wake up and you're like, man, poor guy. I just left him in there. Who knows what happened to him? But that's when the projection's in. And so a lot of the knowledge of ancient times actually speaks of how to not actually overmanage those, to kind of keep them down to, you know, some like to bring their entire being into the realm, and that was called total awareness. But others maybe would split their being into maybe three or four parallels, but never 20, 30, 40. Like there's like a voyeurism going on right now. And all that does is it just leaves you with more, let's say, quote unquote, tentacles. And there needs to be juice flowing to those tentacles. And the more juice, the more you're aware of that realm or is even working or that you can even get into it. And, you know, of course, there's tons of mechanics to this, too. So it's not like, okay, just straightforward knowledge. It's actually Kabbalah. And this Kabbalah, and I have to clarify because some people have hijacked these words, but Kabbalah is not just the book that they got floating around. Kabbalah means to be told something internally. It's oral resuscitation. No one can teach it to you. It's not written down anywhere. It's similar to Gnosticism, but all these words actually have specific meanings. But, you know, in a generalization, this Kabbalah is something like when you go into a deep meditation and then, you know, next thing you know, you're folding your hands a certain kind of way and you're like, yo, I learned a new hand position. Or, you know, you start singing something and humming something or doing anything that it wasn't written down somewhere, but you feel intuitively guided to do that. That's Kabbalah. So bringing a person more in tune with themselves allows them to open up basically a mainframe that can answer any questions. And then they get used to, one, overexhausting themselves. This is kind of like a rat with a pleasure button. You ask questions, you get answers. You ask questions, you get answers, and there's more questions. And then the whole purpose of that drill is to, there will be a certain point, because that's basically the realm of thought or the realm of thought. there'll be a certain point where you start thinking about maybe you headed in the wrong direction. And this is like getting deep in the forest and then realizing, hey, I think we passed this tree. And it's literally saying, hey, actually, there will be an infinite amount of divisions, words, bigger stories. But it's more important for you to just realize that you need to believe. And every time that you ask a question about who you are or what you are, then it does shake and waver the faith of what you believe you're about. But if you took that last story, just take the best story. Any of them will do. You're everything. So take the best story that you've heard so far about your ancestors, what you're connected to, because people love their roots. That's what they need to connect to in order to fly. And so what happens is you take the best story and then just go ahead and shut the book because that's the truth. Now you got to believe it. And then the next thing, and that's how the levels start, because it's like, okay, so he's done with data. So now he's ready to head back. Okay, so and then the interesting part is this design, because it's even mapped out as designs. In fact, symbols would speak volume. So this spiral is what you would be dealing with. And you would literally be through life, as you're leaving a harmonic trail, be encouraged to come out further, come out of your shell. And you notice how the snail has the same spiral on the shell. Come out of your shell, come on. And then that's the known reality that we're dealing in. It pulls you further and further out of your shell. And even until you start referring to yourself in third person and naming yourself one-syllable names and, you know, just weird stuff going on, right? And then at a certain point, there'll become an awareness. This is literally like we've installed in this hyper-complex system like this, something that will reel you back in, literally, once you get to a certain point. It's like a fail-safe within the system. So this is what we call awareness. But the interesting thing is now you actually must go back the same amount of space or time you came out. And this is interesting, meaning that as you unravel, when you want to go back inward, you have to go back down that same road, if you may. But the interesting thing is it doesn't take you the same amount of time. It just takes you the same amount of energy. So this is why some people can actually get back inside rather fast, even after being in the external world 20, 30 years, because they'll have such a fervent for getting back internal to understand again and to, you know, to pull the knowledge and the power from the depths. They'll have such a strength to do that. It will be equivalent to 30 or 40 years of a life of just external matrix. And so, you know, I find, again, this existence to be quite interesting. And I'm still unfolding this thing. And I'm just using also a blueprint. And that's what people should understand about me, is that I've seen different kind of tangents. I've seen, you know, where people believe in things that are saying something to them. Sometimes there are things talking, and then sometimes that thing is wrong. And you know, so there's all these different things that go on, and I need something that is really more finite, something that's really going to be precise in letting me know what I'm dealing with. And what I discovered, discovery for me, was there was a blueprint, and it's kind of very similar to what they say about as above, so below, but those are old Egyptian spells that would be talking like that in the beginning. It's not related directly to Crowleyism, but it just says that there is a correspondence to every single thing that is on all levels, and all you need to do is find those correspondences. And one of the most interesting things that I just recently kind of cracked into it in talking to a friend is, even when a person is harvesting, let's say, negative emotions, negative feelings, negative energy, this actually will look more or less inside like a like mucus that is very like a plasticky kind of mucus. So this proves that literally the everything that goes on, everything that we think, everything, every action, it translates even into something physical. And when we find that physical, we can just trace it right back up the ladder and understand its origin. So we've been doing that for years, and it's made for us actually being able to map out this body.
Right, right. Wow. I know that you do talk a lot a bit between the difference between the knowing and thought. And I believe that you talk about the world of thought and perhaps man-made reality as the as the false matrix, and the world of nature as the true matrix. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you discovered that. I know for myself, for instance, that, you know, when I discovered that we may have been programmed and created as a slave species, reading Michael Tellinger's book, I was really shocked. But then it opened up the ability to perhaps change our, to take control, to change ourselves, to change our world.
Should we go to break and then talk about this when we come back and talk about submatrixes and my idea of shared supportive reality experiences and maybe even reptilians and Planet X?
Yeah, we'll go right down the rabbit hole.
See how much time we have. I think this is going to be really exciting, okay. And I hope you'll come back and you'll want to hear this. So yeah, this is Dr. Lana and Detective David Love with Universal Soul Love, broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network from the Land Down Under with Seven Bomar, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
This is Universal Soul Love. This is your host, Dr. Lana Love.
And this is your detective, David Love.
And today we have with us Seven Bomar, who is an amazing, I guess, mystic, spiritual leader, and Ascension Master, I would say.
Yep, that
author,
covers it.
YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Seven.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Seven, we're going to go right down the rabbit hole and perhaps talk about us being a slave species, the false program, the false matrix, and how to get out of it.
For sure. You know, I guess, to try to sum this up very fast, because it's necessary, because this is one of those things that just unravels. It's like Pandora's box. The truth is that, first of all, if you lease something out that's very powerful, the thing you would need to worry about the most is that if it's going to become aware of what it is, right? So if we went along with this idea that the human body was actually created to be a slave, then this would make us have to accept that logic. And what we find, though, is that this text that was being read about the slave species and mining the gold and these kind of things actually come from Sumeria. And so when we do some research about the Mesopotamian geographics, you know, just what it was like during that time, there was quite a bit of flooding and quite a bit of earthquake action going on in that area just because of the geological situation. So we start noticing how the geological situation, especially through many cultures, actually affects their dogma and their traditions that they believe in. Because in more abundant areas, the actual logic behind who the gods are and what they're coming to do is actually opposite. So what I would sum this up to is that, you know, if I think that there's many religions out there or now that are attempting to convince people that they're less than the chief character within the religion. And I just find those kind of things to be very counterproductive, because there's also just clear statements like, I guess if we're supposed to be children of God, if we grow up, that means that would make us God, end of story. So there's a lot of things that if we start to believe and put energy into those lies, I would say, then it just unravels into us being able to make some truth out of it. And I think that that's insanity, right? Like, imagine if somebody lied to begin with, and then somehow we prove that that lie is true. So what happens then is literally what really goes on in the person's mind that does that. What they have done is they basically convinced themselves of some type of falsehood. So when I've digged into these cultures very deeply, also from their occult level, their, you know, the hieratic and demotic, you know, there's many books like from Tons Bronze on the Sumerian language and to understand, you know, what was really going on in that area. And I know that the knowledge of the slave species story is a direct product of the patriarchal tradition or the monarchical tradition of priest kings coming in and literally utilizing a system that does enslave its populace in order to, as slaves as a form of commerce, versus such concepts like that in even Persia and in other areas were not even going on. I mean, you found entire areas that didn't even have any weapons, and their entire culture was about love and connection.
Okay. All right. So I take it then that you don't buy into the idea that we are a slave species. What about the false matrix then? Where does that come from? And is that enslavement or is that a false belief system that we are in?
And the other question is, before we even, I know Lana and a lot of people have this question. I mean, what do you think of Planet X? And maybe I'm jumping ahead.
I think you are.
But, you know, if you see we've got this whole supposed scientific evidence for a planet that comes around every so many thousands of years, and people say they're seeing two suns, and there's supposed historical evidence for it in the Sumerian texts and Sitchin and whatnot. And so some people are, you know, we have survivalists in our audience who are digging bunkers and preparing for this event, and they say climate change is the result of Planet X coming in and into our solar system and whatnot. So,
just to fill you in, Seven, I believe from the evidence that I've gathered that there is such a thing as Nibiru. David doesn't.
So that's why I'm jumping right into this, to just get your opinion on all of this.
Well, let me explain something very briefly here. In the ancient traditions, it talks about how if we start letting the mirror tell us what to do, then we're doomed. That we are to always stay in the position of command and always telling all the others to do what we project them to do. So notice how, like, so this is basically saying, who is the programmer of your reality? Because again, if my eyes close, your eyes don't close. So you're the controller of your own, you're the master of your own life, you're the lord of your own world, and I am too, whether I realize that or want to take that position or not. So what happens then is that when you study the psyche of people and collectivism and what we can actually do when we all believe something, you can even bring something from non-existence into existence. And this is known in the ancient times by the Greeks as the eidolon. And this is basically to bring an idea and to begin to get people to power that idea so much that it actually becomes solid. It actually even becomes something that even thinks on its own. So we need to realize what we're dealing with here. Just rewinding for a moment, that we're actually in a mainframe that responds based on our thoughts because we have a projector. And we see that in our dreams. So when we project what we want, it starts to actually become solid. And we're forgetting that there's a space in between when it happens, right? From the thought to when it happens, that space in between is the world we're living in. So we get a chance to watch it in slow-mo then. So the slow motion is the doomsday cycle, which is basically it's a golden calf in the reality program. Why? Because if you look at this like a program, when you write a program, you must have a start, which they call birth, and you must have an ending, which they call death. As a programmer, if you don't write a start or if you don't write an ending, you have a glitched program. So the reality that we're dealing with knows how to write a start and knows how to write an end. And that's really what we see in most spiritual texts, is that there's a beginning and then there's an end where it's tore all up, right? And this concept is a dualistic structure in the consciousness. It's no more valid than that there's actually, it's no more valid than when binary moves to trinary or goes back singular. So if we're allowing the reality that we're in, if you may, to begin to dictate to us, the actual creators of our own reality, and we've been bestowed that power, it is our gift to believe in anything that someone is going to cook up, whether it's the Vrilya Society with long-haired Celtic druids concocting potions that are going to cause a day for us to all end. Like, all I keep hearing from these beings is end, like they want it to end so bad. And the other thing is that when people build shelters and things for a fallout, like, okay, if climate change happens, if the... I wouldn't want to live. Think about the dignity. I wouldn't want to live in a bombed out, destroyed world anyway. I would much more rather move on to something more expanded that I can cook up in my own consciousness. So notice how the confidence is to understand, first of all, who's in control here. Like I always say, who's talking? And then turning into an uploader rather than a downloader. Like, I don't take information like a computer and then respond to the information that I get. I upload into the system with the proper codes, and the system responds back to me with the command that I gave it. And so this is our power. This is our allotment. So, of course, there is going to be a never-ending saga of creations of machinations, since each soul is unique. Thus, there must be a riddle to attempt to attract a different kind of riddle to attempt to attract them all. There's going to be some story and concoction cooked up, and at the end of that story, if it just says that I'm not the central character in the theme, then I know where that story came from.
But Savan, can I just ask you? Can I interject here and just say that? This goes to the idea of submatrixes that you mentioned in your videos, and the idea of a shared supportive reality experience where people with their own personal realities come together and support each other. And so they manifest a hurricane or a major World War III. So there's so many people creating this particular reality, and it's affecting other people who don't want it. So we're now forced to sort of deal with, if this is the case, are we forced to deal with other people's manifestations? If they create a war, are we sort of required to now respond to that and protect ourselves from it.
The first thing that we're required to do is we're required to get ourselves into shape. That's what we call inner stand. So we've got to get ourselves together before we can start working on everybody else. And then the second move is, once you start realizing what's actually going on, you realize that the strongest mind wins. This means there's power within our consciousness. So when you step up to that level and you say, okay, well, I'm going to do something about this. This is literally like saying, okay, I'm not going to be a bagger in the store anymore. I'm going for president. This is a big move. Like, if you really are expecting to accomplish this, you would have to realize you would need to actually transform your own vehicle, right? And then you would have to look for some ways to kind of make some quantum leaps back into your true power, because it can handle situations like we're dealing in the world within the world right now rather easy. But this stage is not easily attained. So what happens then is that you have these multiple projections running, just so you're very clear about what you're witnessing in the reality. You have multiple projections running on different timelines. There's no such thing as time. So they're all interacting at a certain point with a certain level of awareness, and then you have yourself. So as the timeline stretches off from all events, you can actually choose to be in any of those spaces in time. That's what happens when you die, is that you generally will go, if you haven't broke the cycle between even believing that the guy you're seeing in the mirror is yourself, you will try to travel down the timelines again of who you were as a being, and then you will try to activate yourself at that point to where you had a spike in your frequency. This is an event that occurred that allowed you to become aware more of yourself. So when you see a mainframe like that, then you see that, of course, there are perpetrators of this doomsday, or you can't have this knowledge power. There's going to be bad laws, rules, the economy is going to crash, all these different things. You have that. But that should only spur, because nature is going to keep it in balance, that should spur the people to actually, that are gifted with the talent of the invention, the visions, the creations of things like this station, to get more busy about what they're doing, because people still have a choice. Now, first of all, when we say that, okay, so this World War III and this destruction is going to come, there's still a large group of people, a large amount of people in the truth side of themselves, they don't want to see that happening. Now, of course, we have other scenarios like what's going on right now in the Arab countries and the desolation of the Arab countries and the wars that we're seeing right now.
Right.
But these wars are more related to the Anunnaki, Nibiru, and Planet X concepts, such as Allah and Alat, the three wives, the cube itself, even the eye of Saturn, different levels of the what we call occult or hidden knowledge, that what those beings are doing, just to make it very clear, because we can't, you know, I'll just say like this, your feelings is how a lot of people are actually getting tricked in this world, because what the truth is to it is that all of us have come from a certain stage, right? We either come from the complete sludge, the bottom, and we come from the top. We do those at the same time. That's why they say as above, so below, because you start from the highest high. And if you can say you have that position, then you also have a position in the lowest low. And then you sandwich. And this is what we're calling this reality. And what we're doing now is we're accomplishing the great arcana, which is to mesh the flesh with the spirit. That's what guys like Dynamo Jack, Qigong Masters, My Gong Masters, Kundalini, et cetera, is about tonals and noggles, you know, dreaming and consciously dreaming, conscious daydreaming. These kind of things are all accomplished by merging two powers and two forces. So if the school is to basically invent the greatest evil, the destruction of the world, nothing can be more evil, and the greatest good, the salvation and the growth and the expansion, the bright day that comes next, that's what would be the antithesis. And that's why I say on my Skype, they're the birth and the death of the greatest illusions. Because if we start buying into the program, and I'll say this, I know we're on time, we start buying into programs and investing in these programs, and we choose not to devaluate them, meaning it's important for us right now to devaluate the whole slave idea in order to become free, sovereign, because we understand what that's really about. So cut the cords on all the things that are draining, that are antithesis type of concepts in doomsday, except that whatever was to happen anyway, it doesn't matter. You're impenetrable. You're impervious. Your consciousness, it could only hurt for a moment. Like, think about it. Like, who are we and what are we really doing? The sheer fact that we're here lets us know a lot of things, and it lets us know, just as personally, that being that you're in right now, the one you're running, you need to get yourself on that level of being in the realization of who you truly are, and then you can go and work on other people if that's what you're led to do after that. But see what this thing is first before you start judging it. And that's a big thing.
So you're saying it's less important for us to go out and try to protest and be a social activists against the wars and the animal holocaust and
well, that's still prepping, et cetera. I will say this. No, that's rocks at a tank. The truth is we have a power within us, and this would have to be next show. The periodic table, the laws of light, the geometrics, the cymatics. Go get your power. That's all I'm saying. Like, I didn't say at all that you couldn't do something magnificent. I'm just saying I wouldn't run into war with someone who'd never fought before. Train yourself. So you could train yourself off of what is already in nature, just the biological energetic potential that you can harness from nature and from other things that are around you in order to power the vessel to get to the total awareness of how to move through realities. So this is, in conclusion, how you can basically change the reality that you're in. And that's just as simple as we can make it. How do you know that when you wake up that the reality that you're in is the same person, that same reality of the person that's next to you? Because it's actually not.
No, I do understand everything you're saying. I know what you're talking about reclaiming your inner power. And we talk a lot about the spiritual warrior mentality on this show. But
next show with you might have to be about the ascension, which I equally believe in. But anyway, that's amazing. Excellent. Thank you for your wonderful, amazing, very, very powerful ideas, really activated something within me.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump right in, and because we're always trying to sort of get that particular question clear. We've asked many of our guests about if you see a hurricane coming, or a train, and you're on the tracks, doesn't it make sense to get out of the way?
Yeah,
I might just meditate. I might just meditate away.
But it's just that the nature of reality is so complex, and I know this now, So it's not always that clear when you're talking about when you're on a particular timeline. We're not realizing how much power we actually have as co-creators of reality to determine the outcomes. And I've only been realizing that over the last few years.
Well, yeah, and I'm still learning. And that's just the journey that we're all taking back to the all-knowing. And I did want to let everyone know that actually we're at secretenergy.com now. So it's open source spirituality if they want to check it out. We got the InterVersity going on, which was just like all over the place. There's a step-by-step process of methodical knowledge that teaches what we're talking about here. And that's what it is. So I would just encourage everyone to, do your best in the reality, be excellent, be great, and be the change that you want to see in others, of course. And this is something that I know that, it gets better as we go. Like, just understand your power and your potential.
Marvelous, Seven. Thank you so much for being on our show. We'd love to have you back as well.
Absolutely.
In the future. All the best. Big hug. Goodbye to everybody from Universal Soul Love.
This is Dr. Lanner and Detective David Love, broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network from the land down under.
In this reality, in this timeline, and in multiple other timelines.
And we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you.